when the replay official did not stop the game?
I'm not going to comment on that. I'll get fined for the rest of my life if I get commented on that.
We had a great belief in our locker room. We didn't have to do anything special, just be us. I was so proud of this team. We had so much fun, it ought to be illegal.
Coach Carousel talk, is that something you just ignore?
Yeah, you ignore because 1 week you're getting fired and the next week you're going to take another job, and I'm worried about the darn SEC West Championship. And so, yes, to answer your question.
I'm the man to go get it done with this staff, with this team, with this program. There's not anybody left standing after 2015. All right, I am. And I know what it takes. You build in together, you fight together, and you go find a way to get it done.
That's iron sharpening iron. That's the way this thing's got to work, man. We got to know and understand that it's got to be about competition.
I'm going to tell you something. I want to go tell our story. I'm tired as hell of turning on ESPN and SportsCenter and people getting to pick what the hell they want to say about us. We got a bunch of young guys that came here for a damn reason. I want to tell our story on national television. I'm tired of people talking about us. I want to go tell our story. That's why the hell we're all here. So we can tell our story.
We're coming. We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
You got control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, Shane, I got a little bit of exciting news here for our listeners. You know, we're a big podcast that we really like to show appreciation for everyone that tunes into the show. You know, there's any podcast you could be out there listening to, but you're listening to this one. And we want to give a special thanks. I know we always talking about the five-star hearts and written reviews and all that. That really does help us out. And now we want to offer something to all the listeners. We went and got ourselves some That SEC Podcast beer koozies.
Yeah.
We got four different ones here, Shane. We got a black and white one. We got an orange and white one. We got a red and white. And then we got a blue and white. We got a wide range of selections there that hits on just about all the SEC teams. We'll probably have more of these in the future, but we got 100 of them. And what we're going to do, if you leave us a five-star hearts, give us a rating and review, a written review, we're going to send these bad boys out to you free of charge, just as a way of saying thanks. And you don't have to worry about your information. You know, we're not sharing this with a company. We're not asking you to provide anything you're not comfortable providing with. Reach out to Shane or I, either on Twitter, on the Reddit. You can even email us at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com with that information. So just kind of take a screenshot that you subscribe and you've given a rating and review. And we'll send this out. I'm personally doing this. I'm not outsourcing it. So we got 100 of these, depending on how quick they go. If they go quick, I'll order another 100, and we'll do it again. But we just wanted to take the time out to just, you know, really show our appreciation and just send you guys something, because we really do appreciate all the support you guys give us.
Absolutely, man. That's awesome. And I saw them. They came in the other day, so I got my orange and white one ordered already. So I appreciate everybody, really. Because rating and reviews really have taken off, and it's you guys is why we do this. So just a little appreciation, and appreciate Mike because he's the one really doing all the work here.
As usual.
I'll drink to that.
All right, Shane, let's get back to regularly scheduled content here. And before we go around the league, Shane, I saw this clip. Urban Meyer, he was at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. You know, they have a speaking engagement there where this is the same place that had Bobby Petrino, where he rolled in on his motorcycle just a couple weeks ago. And latest coach was Urban Meyer, Shane. And, you know, I understand that's a big guess. That's a good get. I would imagine they sold that thing out just to hear this guy talk. But we're going to share a little clip from it, Shane. And I got a feeling old Urban, I don't think he did any amount of research heading into this one.
Coaches care about one thing, winning. And how do you win? You have to recruit. If you can't recruit the best of the best of the best, you can be Canute, and it's not going to happen for you. You need players. This is not the NFL. And so I think it's Chad Morris, right? I think that's Chad Morris's challenge. But obviously, you know, Petrino got it going, you know, but it's not been, you know, it's not been. This to me is a 10-win, you know, program. This to me is a place that the Arkansas, once again, that I remember, that I know. Are you kidding me? It's Arkansas. But I don't know the challenges about the, you know, so Arkansas is now playing South Carolina, you know, Gainesville. You know, they're playing teams over there as opposed to teams here. And so I'd never talked to Chad about it. I never actually talked to anybody about it, but that's just my opinion.
All right, Shane. I mean, it was bad enough he fucked up Newt Rockies. He didn't know how to say that. He apparently did not know the name of Arkansas's head coach. He says they're playing Gainesville on the schedule. I think he means Florida, but they don't even play Florida, so I don't know what in the hell he's talking about here, Shane. I think Urban's off his meds here.
Yeah, that's right. Looked at his hand. Chad Morris, right? It is Chad Morris, right? He's still here. Oh, man. But it's funny just because this thing has, like you said, they've had Petrino. I'm surprised Gus Malzahn hasn't been up there yet. You know, get old Brett back, you know, have him one more hoorah. I'm wondering if Jerry Jones took Urban out, you know, after this, you know. Said, hey, man, let me take you out to eat and maybe do a little little politicking to see if he can get him back here coaching at Arkansas. But, yeah, this is an absolute joke and an embarrassment, you know, because these guys put in a lot of effort to make these things happen. And Coach usually is prepared, but, man, he had nothing.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it was a bad look, I thought.
It looked horrible.
All right, Shay, you ready to go around the league?
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughters said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, you know, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
In Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys! Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
All right, Shane, so Auburn's on a bye, so we're just going to hit on them quickly before we kind of preview a couple more matchups here. But we had a bit of breaking news Tuesday afternoon, some terrible news for the Tigers. Old Booby Whitlow, their leading rusher, he suffered an injury. He's going to be out. I believe they're saying, what is it, 4 to 6 weeks, Shane?
Yeah.
Now, the only silver lining here, obviously this season there's a double bye, and Auburn, both their byes fit in that time, so that's good. But that obviously is going to rule him out for the LSU game. That's huge because that one's in Baton Rouge, but they're going to get him back potentially based on this timeline for Georgia at home and Alabama at home, so that's huge. Thoughts on the SEC's number 2 leading rusher, Shane, out of the lineup here for Auburn.
Man, it's a big hit. You know, they just keep losing out of that game, you know. I didn't even know that he was hurt until today, actually. So This one caught me off guard. And, you know, something we discussed yesterday was just, you know, this Gus offense is all hinges on the running game. And, yeah, buddy, now it's a party. And, Whitlow, you know, he didn't do much last week, but, you know, maybe that's why they lost. You know, they just weren't able to get that running game going. And you hate to hear, you know, because they were a team that was starting to get healthy at the right time. And now they're taking a step back here.
Yeah, now they got their next game is at Arkansas. And like I hinted at there, at LSU the following week. So back-to-back road games. We just saw Bo Nix struggle on the road. Certainly not saying that, you know, it's the same as going to the swamp, but they're going to have to get that ground game going now without Booby Whitlow. And I'm trying to think of how that's going to happen, Shane. I don't think it's going to be that.
I was just going to say, who do they turn to now?
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, Shane. I think we might even see a little bit more Joey Gatewood. I'm surprised we didn't see him more, considering Bo Nix's struggles, just to give a little bit of extra ground game there. And then they do have DJ Williams, a freshman running back, who he was slowed. I believe he got hurt in fall camp, but he's starting to come on now. I really think they're going to get him a lot of looks. And then the guy that obviously they hit on after this Florida game who didn't get enough looks, they really got to get Anthony Schwartz going in the ground game with a lot of those jet sweeps and trick plays and what have you. I think a combination of those three players should make up for the loss of Bobby Whitlow. Not to say, you know, it's not a loss because it's a huge loss, but those are the three guys that I think really need to step up their production for Auburn to kind of make something of this.
Yeah, I didn't think about the Joey. I'm kind of surprised now that you said that, looking back, that he didn't get any playing time during that Florida game. You know, even if it was just a couple of design draws or, you know, read options or something like that. They just, I just think he was just so pumped up about Bo. You know, he felt like his game has excelled and he's already moved on to the next level and away games don't bother him. I just think maybe Gus wasn't as prepared. And I think he will be going into next week.
All right, Shane. Well, let's get back to the Week 7 action because we got a couple games here. And let's start in Lexington. Where Mark Stoops met with the media here. And, you know, the Kentucky Wildcats on a bit of a slide here. But obviously the same could be said for Arkansas. But I think the Razorbacks, they're showing against Texas A&M. That's giving them some life, kind of like you're a Tennessee fan. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Looked good against Georgia. That's something to build on. Arkansas's got that same thing going. Both these teams coming off a bye. This is going to be, you know, this is the one we kind of circled for Kentucky where you look past Arkansas as, well, that's an automatic win going into the season. But now that they've started to slide, now that they have quarterback issues, this is a questionable game here, Shannon. When the line came out, they were not even a touchdown favorite. How big is this game for Kentucky, considering they're coming off three losses? And then looking at it this way, Shane, after this Arkansas game, they go to Georgia, and then they get Missouri at home. I mean, this is an incredibly tough stretch. This Arkansas game is huge.
It's very, very big. And, you know, we were getting on to Kentucky people, or not Kentucky people, but other fans that didn't know about Kentucky, about respect, and Kentucky just seemed to never get it. And they were starting to get to that point. If they could have beat Florida, I think we have a different narrative at this moment, but they weren't able to, and they've been sliding, and they haven't found their footing yet. And I, you know, this is one of those games, like you said, it's the start of the season. I would have said, oh man, Kentucky's going to win this thing without a doubt. Now I'm like, I don't know, man, this is kind of a coin toss here. And both teams can make a statement on Saturday. You know, one of them's going to come out ahead, and is it going to be Kentucky bouncing back? And, you know, I feel like Kentucky needs to get back to what Kentucky does, and that's running the ball, getting behind these offensive line. The offensive line's was garbage last week, and I think that they need to bounce back and make a statement out here. Those are big boys. These guys know how to do it. They've got great running backs. Don't put so much pressure on Smith and just get back to Kentucky football. And I think if they do that, back to fundamental play, I think Kentucky can bounce back and we can start talking about them, you know, being competitors again.
Yeah, now how about this angle, Shane? One thing we've not talked about, I don't think Kentucky football fans get enough respect. You know, we all hear the obvious jokes. It's just a basketball school. We heard that all last year. But those fans showed up in a lot of key situations and really spurred their team on last year. They did the same this season early, particularly in that Florida game. I mean, that was a rowdy environment. But that was the last home game, Shane. And then they played South Carolina. They played Mississippi State, both on the road, lost those games. I don't know how much the home field will play a factor in the outcome of the game, but it is basketball season, not to go there. You know, it's starting up there in Kentucky. How engaged are these fans going to be? Are they going to show up? Are they going to support their team? Or have they just kind of, you know, mailed this one in because the team's struggling? I don't have an answer to that, and I don't think we will until Saturday, so I'll be very curious to see how the Kentucky fans come out, because they're going to need them, I think, in this one. I don't think it's going to be by any means a one-sided game like I thought it would be coming into the year.
Now, is this a noon game?
Yeah, this is 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central.
Okay, well, that's good. I think a night game helps when your fans are down. You know, those noon games are tough to get up for. And, this time last year, cash was in the Walmart parking lot selling tickets. You know what I'm saying? They created that buzz last year. They had the buzz at the start of the season. I don't think Kentucky's ready to give up on them, but damn, if they drop another one, like you said, with basketball around the corner, these fans may be back out again.
All right, Shane, let's jump over to Mark Stoops, who hit on the status of Sawyer Smith. Kind of sounds like he's still kind of up in the air, or at least still dinged up, on playing in an SEC game that you really aren't familiar with the other team. This is one of those games where Kentucky and Arkansas very rarely meet, so they're not very familiar with the Razorbacks. And then finally, on this game, if it's a make or break for his program.
Kind of reload and get ready for this next phase of the season.
Is the plan still for Sawyer to throw today? Is that what you're anticipating?
Yeah, so he's took a solid week off, and he needed that. And the word I got, from our trainer here this morning was that he feels significantly better. So that'll be the plan. We'll see. I'm not trying to withhold any information on you guys. It just is what it is. He's banged up. You guys know that. You know the other options that we've been working, and but we'll proceed with Sawyer and anticipate him being the starting quarterback and being able to play this week. So, that's the plan, and we'll see how the week goes.
Well, what's it like, Eric? It's a conference game, but there's no familiarity there.
Yeah, it is very different and unique. I go back with Coach Bielema, Brett and I are friends, and knew each other for a long time. So I remember looking at the schedule and not having them on there. I don't know what happened. Y'all probably know better than me early on when I got here with the schedule, and somehow we ended up playing. I think the only team on the West we played twice since I've been here was Alabama, but we never played Arkansas. So this would be the first time. And there is no familiarity, but it is what it is. We do that all the time. We play teams that we're not familiar with and maybe haven't played, whether it's out of conference or any of that, but it is new. It's new. We don't know the personnel as much and don't know them. Of course, Coach Smith, Michael Smith, was there with Bielema and can fill us in a bit on personnel, but obviously the rest of the roster's turned over quite a bit as well.
All right, Shane. So, like I said, Sawyer Smith, it doesn't sound too positive. Obviously, he got... he'll have 2 weeks to prepare for this one. But this will be an interesting game, considering Kentucky's not really seen Arkansas. None of the players on either side has played one another. So that makes it a little more interesting going into this matchup, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and it's something I didn't even know. It's just that I hate it, man. I hope that they fix this at some point. There's teams not playing each other. There's some head coaches that's coaching the SEC that's not played every SEC team, because they're fired or they move on. Same thing with the players, they're there 3, 4, 5 years even, and they're not getting to play every team. So this shouldn't be such a new event. This is like he's out here talking
like
about
a non-conference game.
That's it, man. I was thinking like he's talking about Troy all of a sudden, It's just it's kind of got that vibe, and I hate that in the SEC. These guys should play more. So I do think it's going to get corrected at some point. Probably when Saban retires and then he runs the committee, then he'll maybe say change the rules or something. Him and Steve get together.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chase, so let's jump over to the other side of this. We hit on a little bit there, but the Razorbacks.
Woo pig!
They seem to get some momentum there against Texas A&M. They threaten like they always do in that game, but they also came up short like they always do in that game. And Nick Starkel, for all the praise we've given him, he looked pretty shaky in that one, and that was obviously coming after the 5-interception San Jose State game. And they're sticking with him, even though Ben Hicks looked very good against A&M. So I kind of credit Chad Morris for sticking to his guns here. But this is a game, Shane, where Arkansas in their passing game, Trey Knox a little banged up, but if he's good to go, I think these Arkansas receivers in this passing game, they should have an advantage against Kentucky's thin and banged up defensive backfield. That's going to be a critical factor for this game. So Chad Morris was asked about Nick Starkel's status, gave a little update on that, and then on how tough it is to prepare for an offense, because we still don't know if Sawyer Smith's going to go, Shane. It could be Lynn Bowden under center. I mean, they've been toying with that. So that's something Chad Morris hit on. So let's jump over to the Arkansas coach.
Coach, you talked about getting a lot of the wide receivers back. I assume you also mean Trey Knox. Could you just kind of go into where his health status is and also with Starkel and his contusion?
Yeah, Nick worked out last week, so he's ready to go. He's full speed as well. You know, Trey was out. He was in a normal jersey last night at practice running around, looked good. So we anticipate him being back and being out there. And so it was good to see him back. I know he spent some time after practice, he and Nick working on a few things. And so that's what you hope to have. But the thing that sticks out more than anything is how dynamic he is with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's electric, whether he's returning kicks, at wide receiver. I mean, they do a great job of trying to get the ball to him. And now, you know, I'm sure he'll line up some at quarterback. He'll line up at running back. He'll line up back at wide receiver. He'll be all over the field, and we're prepared for that. But the guy is definitely a difference maker. Very impressive to watch.
Sure, which quarterback is going to play for another team? Do you prepare for two or three guys? Do you spend time on each of them?
Well, I think you have to. You have to look at that. What are the possibilities? When you get Lynn in there, you know that. I mean, you can't go to sleep. He can throw the football. He's a high school quarterback. Watched him throw the football, and so you can't just say it's automatically running the ball. I mean, you got to be aware of his talent and his skill set, and the rush lanes and keeping him contained. And then you got the others that come in, whether it's Walker or Sawyer. I mean, both of these guys can throw the football and move around. But you have to prepare for what each one does and each one's strengths and weaknesses. So yeah.
I should have mentioned this while we were talking about Kentucky, but Chad Morris is also talking about, obviously the fact they don't know who the quarterback will be for Kentucky. I just wanted to throw this at you because I thought it was pretty hilarious, but I'd give them credit, but I'm not sure who it was, but I did see a tweet. It was like a poll of Kentucky fans asking who they want to see under center for this game, and far and away, Lynn Bowden was number one. Number two was Cash Daniel, and like fourth or fifth place was Sawyer Smith. So they're pretty fed up with him, which I think is really unfair because he's been banged up. But I think that just kind of goes to show where the current state of Arkansas's quarterback room is, where they seem to have no answer at this point, and that's going to be trouble going into this one.
You know, the thing, I think Smith's the guy. Like you said, he's been banged up. Coach gave him a week off, and there was a time when I wanted A.J. Johnson to be the quarterback, when they did the beast package. You remember that? Or at least play back there at running back. You could get carried away. You don't want Cash back there. You don't want Bound back there. He's your best threat on the outside. And if he's taking the snaps, you took away one of your best receivers. So there's no threat to throw. And granted, he played quarterback in high school. I get that. And I do think that if he does play some of that wildcat formation, I do think that they're going to have some design passes for him, man. They're going to have to, or if they're just going to keep stacking the box like South Carolina did. So mm-hmm. I think Smith's your guy. We gave him a week to rest. Let him get out there. Let him just throw, man. Not 42 times. We got to be balanced, but that all starts, like I said earlier, with the offensive line. I think it all boils down to the trenches, and if they can give Smith or Bound or even Cash, if he shows up back there, time to throw, they're going to be all right. But if they do like they did against South Carolina, well, then they ain't going to win this game.
Now, Shane, I asked you how important this game is for Kentucky. What about for Arkansas? Keep in mind, Listen to their schedule down the stretch here after this Kentucky game, Shane. They got to play Auburn at home. Then they got to go to Alabama. Then they get Mississippi State at home. Western Kentucky, that's a winnable game, obviously. But then they finish up LSU and Missouri. I mean, my God, Shane. I mean, this is we're looking at another 2-10 type year if they drop this one.
Are they at 2 wins right now?
Yeah, okay, we're 3-9, so 3-9. You know what I mean? But if they win this one, I think they could, you know, like I said, I think they got some momentum, but I just don't know how the morale of this team is if you can't beat a Kentucky team that may not have a quarterback.
But you could get a little, like you said, you could get a little momentum here. I think it's stupid when people say there's no moral victory. Last week was I think Arkansas feels a little bit better about their situation in that game. They wish they would have won, obviously, because they had an opportunity, plenty of opportunities to win. But, you know, the Arkansas is kind of at a – I think it's bigger for Morris than it is the actual team. I think, you know, if he can win this game, if he can – who was the other one? There was Western Kentucky. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's the only layup on their schedule.
And then so you're looking at that point, 5 games, and then you can maybe do a – I don't know. Maybe Mississippi State's the only other option. But, I mean, there's an outside chance that they could still make a bowl game. And dude, that gets people off of you. You make a bowl when something you haven't been able to do in a long time. So, no, this is one of those games you got to have. So, I think it's just as big. I think it's bigger for Kentucky's fans to win. And I think it's bigger for Coach Morris to win. Mm-hmm. That's his name, right? Chad Morris?
And keep in mind, Shane, Chad Morris never beaten a Power 5 team. That's still an incredible stat.
Oh, man, yeah, you've got to fix that.
All right, let's jump on down to Athens, Shane.
Oh, no, sick him!
Where Georgia is going to host South Carolina. Last year, obviously, there was a ton of hype on this game. I was calling it early for Georgia to bring down a whooping. A lot of people were picking South Carolina to win that one. Obviously, it didn't happen that way. But this time, the Gamecocks got 2 weeks to prepare. They're coming off a huge win themselves. They kind of righted the ship there. It's amazing, you know, how hot a seat can get in the SEC, and then no one talks about it after a win. I mean, that's how huge it is. And,
yeah,
you know, South Carolina still searching for that signature win in the Will Muschamp era. This would certainly be it. But let me ask you this, Shane. I think, you know, I've been a little disappointed with Georgia this season. Obviously still undefeated. Everything's in front of them. Not saying they can't win the SEC. Not saying they're not the favorite to win the East. I think they certainly still are. And it doesn't really matter how you start. You know, if they keep gaining momentum, this could obviously still be a very dangerous team, a college football playoff team. I have no question about that. But let me ask you this, Shay, because Tennessee came out, punched him in the mouth, you know, really got some momentum. Is there a chance that woke this Georgia team up? Because after Tennessee got up, I mean, that Neyland Stadium crowd was just in an uproar. And then from that point on, I mean, it was just a damn Georgia domination. Will we see that continue in the South Carolina game, do you think?
You know, it's funny because they've had – really one test, the Notre Dame, you know, they pounced on him early, and then Tennessee comes out. This is a team they're overlooking. If they would have beat us 42-0 and it was never a contest like from start to finish, I think there's a chance that they could have overlooked South Carolina. Now, that being said, when this thing was 14-12, and yeah, we're hanging our hat on 14-12 up here in Tennessee, but Georgia needs to look at that, look themselves in the mirror and say, man, we can't do this. I mean, this is Tennessee. We should have been up from the start to the finish. This shouldn't even have been a contest. By the end of the first quarter, we should have had this thing wrapped up. That's the kind of attitude they got to have because they're competing for a national championship, man. And sometimes you can get lost looking at the future, and teams like South Carolina are teams that have nothing to lose, man. I mean, you saw what they did against Alabama. They dialed up everything they had. They're going to do the exact same thing with Georgia. And there's, you know, the thing I like about South Carolina is that rush defense. Unlike Tennessee, you're not going to be able to run as easily as you have the last few weeks here. This is a stingy front. I mean, this is a team that only gave up 70 yards rushing to Alabama. You know what I'm saying? So they know how to stop the run, and that's kind of been your bread and butter. So not that Fromm can't win it with his arm, because he's very, very talented. This is a very talented Georgia team, but I think Georgia, I mean, obviously it's played in Athens, but this is one of those noon kickoff games, man, you just don't like to see. I'll never forget, we had an early game against Georgia when Tennessee was high on the, you know, and they came in, and that's the Dobnell boot play, you know, it's just, we just couldn't get into it, just, it was just blah the whole time. Those games sneak up on you, and like I said earlier, Gamecocks are going to come out, and they're going to come out swinging. So Georgia cannot afford to keep playing from behind, because if they do that, they're going to catch one of these teams that catch fire, and they're just not going to be able to catch up.
You know the biggest disadvantage of playing at noon for Georgia?
What's that?
We won't be able to see them pretty red lights.
Let me ask you, do you think, I mean, what do you got to see here? Let's just say, what does South Carolina have to do? To win this game? Do you think it's run?
I'll tell you, Shane, because this is where I was going to go to when you kick it over to me. But last season, what was the thing that just doomed him in this one? It was, you know, Bentley threw a bad interception. I think it was at the very beginning. It was a pick six. But South Carolina was not technically out of it at that point. I think they rallied a little bit. But then by the third and fourth quarter, particularly the third quarter, if I recall, it was this Georgia offensive line just treated the South Carolina front seven like their damn children. They were just, I mean, they did whatever they wanted with them. And that's where South Carolina wilted. And it was not only that game, but that was the game that really exposed them for it. And it happened all season long. And that's kind of why I was so high on South Carolina coming into this year, because they're bringing most of those guys back. They got other guys emerging. I really expect a lot out of this front seven. And it's not to say we haven't seen it. I think we have seen it, but I think it's been overshadowed by the slow start. So this is the game where this offense and defensive line, it's time for them to man up. It's time for the excuses to end. This is year four of the Muschamp era. I know they don't have as many players as Georgia, but hell, Shane, you can only put 11 on the field at a time. So I think South Carolina's, you know, their first line on both sides matches up fairly well with Georgia, but it's time to see it. So that's kind of where I'm going with this one.
Do you think Kirby has these boys ready? Because I don't think they were ready against the Tennessee game. I just don't. I think they just came in there expecting just the script, get the scores, go to bed. You know, it just felt that way. And when they figured out they got to play, they did turn. There was like a switch they hit, and they were running 100 miles an hour. What is Kirby gonna have to do to not have these boys flip that switch 2-3 quarters in, but right there at kickoff?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge, because I think this damn Georgia team, they've probably been all offseason reading their press clippings is what it seems like, because they out-talent everyone. They're tougher. They're more physical. They need to bring that for four quarters, and we just haven't seen it. So that's kind of why I'm down on them. But that is a flip that can be switched. But you know, I don't know. We just got to see it on the field. So let's jump over here to Kirby Smart, Shane, because he was asked about Helinski and kind of these freshman quarterbacks that are taking over the SEC. Helinski, this was a guy that Georgia wanted. This was a big win for South Carolina to get him on campus. And then Georgia's facing a ton of teams. I think it's like four or five teams, Shane, that have 2 weeks to prepare. This is one of them. So let's jump it over. Let's kick it over to Kirby Smart talking about this matchup.
Yeah, I think it's a trend that you're going to see, because number one, they're getting hit more, so there's a chance of injury. They're running more, there's greater chance of injury. So you're seeing backups who happen to be true freshmen, because quarterbacks don't usually stay the long haul and they leave. So you're seeing more backups, but you're also seeing more talented freshmen arrive. And this young man is talented. This young man has a talented arm strength. He can make all the throws. to see him go in the games he went in, I mean, just look at the Alabama tape. He went out and played against one of the elite defenses in the country and spun the ball as good as anybody. He's got a great release. He's got intuition on throws, very instinctive. And he's going to be a really good player in this league for a long time, in my opinion. The reality that you deal with, it's kind of like the kickoff time. You don't have control over it. You take it and you go and you do the best job you can with it. In a two-off week year, I found that it seems like obviously there's more opportunities just statistically for that to happen. So when there's a two-off week season, which there is this year, there's more that have that chance of happening. And you worry about it as a coach, but there's something you can't control. So when you can't control it, you just move on and you say, look, hey, maybe we didn't start good defensively last week because we were off the week before. You know, sometimes there's some rust there, and you playing a game sometimes is good for you. You get to grow and develop. I do think the healing part is helpful and getting fresher, recovery time. Those things are probably beneficial for the team that's off. But at the end of the day, I mean, you got to go out there and play the game, and everybody's playing the same number of games. So,
Coach, what are your thoughts about promoting a player, or in your case, players, for Heisman, and when will that campaign, Hot Rod for Heisman,
be? I'm ready to start it right now. I mean, Hot Rod does a great job. He does everything he's asked. He's a great leader on our team. He's very consistent. And he has a approach to the game and a approach to his method of doing things that is unique to him. And he believes in it, and we trust him a lot. And he's been a tremendous leader, you know, just in this room with our team, because people see how hard Rod works. So it's an honor to have him on here, and he works really hard.
All right, Shane, I think it's interesting that Kirby is praising this young man, because he has been good, Helinski, that is, but if I'm Kirby Smart, if I'm telling the truth, I think he's very eager to get a true freshman coming into Athens, because I think I think he's ready for him.
Well, Kirby's never met a freshman quarterback he didn't like, has he? He pumps them all up, don't he? So that's what he wants, man. He wants this crowd to be there. He wants them to be rowdy. Maybe that's what it takes to jumpstart this thing, because they were jumping at the Notre Dame game. I just think that, you know, I mean, that was like their first true test. I think this is going to be a different story. I think if the fans get into it, the players get hyped before the game, this is one of those that could either be a close nail biter at the end, or it could be a blowout. It just depends on which Georgia shows up.
Well, let's kick it over to the other side of this one, Shane. Will Muschamp met with the media here on Tuesday, and he was asked about the status of Ryan Helinski, on what makes Georgia's running game so damn good, and the breakout season of Rico Dowell, Shane. You know, that's a guy that outside of South Carolina fans probably not getting the respect he deserves. He's been one of the better breakout players in the entire league, in my opinion. And it was interesting, you know, this is something that you hit on a previous show, how we've not really heard the name Taven Feaster all that much. And I think it's because it's lit a fire under Dowell's ass here, and it just pushed him to be a better player. That's something kind of Will Muschamp, he didn't mention Feaster, but it's pretty clear that's who he's referencing here. I mean, Dowell's having a big game, and if they're going to pull the upset, Shane, kind of like I was saying, it's got to start in the line of trenches, obviously. But, you know, I'm very high on Helinski, but I do not think he's ready to go on the road and carry this team to a victory. I think it's got to come on the ground game. They've got to shorten this game, take possessions away from Georgia, and it's probably got to be Dowell and Feaster just having career games. I think that's the recipe for success. So let's kick it over here to Will Muschamp, and then we'll talk about it on the back end.
Will, how was Ryan's progress in the off week, and did he have a chance to kind of reset after, you know, getting thrown in maybe earlier than he expected?
Well, I think he's done really well. I mean, obviously, he would have loved to have played better in Missouri, but I think he's handled the situation and the circumstances extremely well. He's progressed well. He's practiced well. He's taken all the reps. And I think, again, the more turns and reps you get, the better you're going to improve. And he certainly is a guy that's worked extremely hard to put himself in this position to play well. And we expect for him to play well.
It seems like with Georgia, they managed to generate a really strong, powerful downhill running game, despite not necessarily going with a lot of 21 or 12 personnel. What is there something schematic that sort of goes into that, or is a lot of that just you have the personality and you're the personnel and you go from there?
They're really talented at running back, and they're really talented on their offensive line. And they got a quarterback that gets them in and out of the right run schemes. So they're, when you mix all that together, that makes us for a pretty good run game.
With Rico, Coach, being able to see him take his game to a next level this year, how much of that do you think has just been created from just the competition that's been created in that running back room?
Well, I think that competition helps you, and that's when you want, you have a deep, talented roster, and that's what we're building to, and it takes time. It's frustrating at times, but that's you know, ass on bench. That's the best motivator we got, and, you know, I say it all the time. The guys want to, they all want to play. And they all want to be out there, and they all want to start, and they all want to be on the field. So there's no question competition is a great motivator for us. We're not all self-starters as players. They, you know, they all want to, you know, be on the field and start, and that's just the way it is. So I think that certainly at that position, we've done a nice job there as far as the competition's concerned. You got three seniors that are all very capable guys that can do a really nice job for us. But Rico's always been a very talented guy and has always worked pretty hard. He just always had a history of some injuries and some things that have been set him back.
All right, Shane, so ass on a bench is a great motivator, says Will Muschamp. I mean, he keeps delivering these classic lines here, and I think he put it perfectly here.
Absolutely, man. I mean, could you imagine being down just, you know, this is your job. You know it's yours. You're going to be the starting running back for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And all of a sudden, Feaster comes up, and they done made him a locker and everything, just trying to recruit him up there. You know what I'm saying? I think you're right. I think it lit a fire under this kid, and he ran angry against Kentucky. So that's what you got to have, man. You got to have somebody that gets in there, especially against a team like Georgia that just has no quit in them, that, you know, just does everything he can to get additional two yards, you know, or 3 yards or whatever he can, because every inch is going to count during this game.
Mm-hmm. Now, Shane, before we move on to another matchup, I did want to make this note. Sophomore linebacker Ernest Jones, Georgia product, obviously starts for South Carolina. He was asked about returning home. I just thought this was a great comment here. Ernest Jones, no fan of the Bulldogs.
Did you have any allegiance to Georgia growing up, or are you not really a Bulldogs fan?
Oh, no, I did not like Georgia.
Who were you a fan of?
South Carolina.
You said you didn't like Georgia growing up. Is there a particular reason? Anything or just?
No, it's nothing personal against them. It's just everybody where I'm from just loves Georgia. So not me.
You just wanted to be different.
Yeah, I wanted to be different. I definitely did, and I can't wait for Saturday.
All right, Shane.
That's awesome.
I just love these clips when we get these players to kind of, you know, come out and tell how they really feel for a moment here. But there's always these kids that, you know, probably a lot of pressure on them to go with the in-state school, but for whatever reason, just was never a fan of them. And South Carolina's got a good one here, and Ernest Jones is going to be his first game here in Sanford Stadium. It sounds like he's pretty fired up to face the Bulldogs.
That's awesome. I wish we had more of those.
All right, Shane, so we got another matchup here in the SEC, another one of these crossover games, Ole Miss at Missouri. Unfortunately, no clip of Barry Odom here. He's one of the tougher ones to track down. Missouri, for whatever reason, just does a really poor job of sharing clips here. But he met with the media on Tuesday. Says Kelly Bryant, you know, he basically said it was the best Tuesday practice he's ever had. Kelly Bryant's come out and said he's about 90%. He's wearing a knee brace. And one of the better comments, which unfortunately we don't have it, but Odom was also, I mean, a lot of his presser was on Cale Garrett and just what that kid means to this program. He said Cale Garrett is Missouri. Like, he's basically the reason they're trending in the right direction, players like him. So, mm-hmm. You know, obviously we talked about what a huge loss that is for Missouri, but is this a game, Shane, where obviously they lost that Wyoming game because they couldn't stop the run. The quarterback of the defense is gone, and now they're facing an Ole Miss team that all of a sudden looks like the SEC's most dangerous team on the ground. They may not be able to pass it worth anything, but they can run all over you. How big potentially is this loss of Cale Garrett with this Ole Miss team coming into town?
You talk about rush defense, man. Missouri is one of the best rush defense teams in the nation right now. So that's something they've been able to do and stop well. But I think a lot of that has to do with Kale, and he's not there. There's a big void right there in the middle of your defense. So it's not like they're just going to leave the spot open. Somebody's going to come in, but there's a big gap between Kale and whoever comes in behind him. So this Ole Miss team's going to want to run. But I'm telling you, Rich is sneaky too. He's scheming up something right now, something because he realizes that he can't just let Plumtree run around back there. He's going to have to throw the ball, especially to beat a team like Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Now let's jump over here to Oxford, Shane, where Matt Luke met with the media.
Howdy-toddy, old miss.
Here recently, and he touched on Missouri and the challenges they face his Ole Miss program. On the status of Matt Corral, it's interesting. It sounds like Matt Corral basically could have played last week against Vanderbilt. I didn't realize that, but I think they held him out because they knew that game was in hand and they just didn't feel comfortable him taking many hits. And then finally, I've heard some Ole Miss fans discuss this, Shane. John Rhys Plumlee, he may be taking too many carries. I mean, yeah, he's a young kid. He seems like he's got all the energy in the world, but as the SEC schedule continues to grind down, you don't want this kid taking too many hits. He's far and away their leading rusher since he's taken over here. I don't think they want him carrying it 25-plus times against Missouri. He's got some talented backs and some good receivers on that team. He needs to kind of share the wealth a little bit if he's going to survive the season.
Yeah, it's kind of like Nick Fitzgerald last year. He ran, it seemed like, every play, but Nick was a big guy. Plumlee's not. He keeps taking those hits. There's going to be a time he doesn't get up as quick.
Moving on to Missouri, this is a very, very good football team. Defensively, they are very, very fast, especially up front. That jumps off the tape right immediately. These guys, they move around. They cause problems. So they're very, very fast up front. Offensively, they're very physical. Have the best tight end we've played yet. He's very, very good. Good quarterback, good running back, and a physical O-line. Plus, we're playing on the road in the Southeastern Conference, so definitely a huge challenge. Coach Odom has done a great job, and those kids play really hard. So, tough challenge going on the road at Missouri. It's the only stadium I've never played in, so looking forward to the challenge and looking forward to going up there.
Questions? You mentioned Missouri's speed up front. What makes them so difficult stopping the run? It seems like they've really stymied people this month.
Yeah, they do. They do an outstanding job. They don't stay in one place. They're constantly moving, stemming. They're very powerful and quick. So again, when you're big, strong, and fast, that obviously is a good combination. But they do a good job of moving around and creating problems for offensive lines.
Matt, how do you kind of handle Matt health-wise this week? Is there a certain point in the week maybe you'll know whether he'll have him or not?
Yeah, I think he's going to continue to be better. And there may be a point this week where he is back to 100%. And he could have gone out there and thrown some, but to say he could have gone out there and ran the offense, I don't think that yet. But, as he gets to be 100%, we'll continue to look at it.
Matt, did Matt have a setback last week with his health? Because it sounded Wednesday like you were pretty confident.
And again, he could have gone out there and played. He wasn't It wasn't in any danger. But to say he was going to go out there and run zone read and pull the ball and feel good about getting hit, I think that's the challenge.
Attention being paid to like how the carries are being distributed in the backfield, who's getting the touches, things like that. How much of that is attributed to who happens to be in the game and how the RPO works out, things like that?
Yeah, some of our runs, it does depend on who's in the game, but sometimes John Rhys, based on his read, can pull it, he can give it. So sometimes you can't really control that. It's based on what the defense does. And then a lot of time we got two running backs in the game at the same time, which is good. But a lot of it depends on how the defense plays it as to who gets the ball.
All right, Shane, so Ole Miss fired up about this one, and – I thought they had a really good showing against Alabama. Obviously lost that game, though, but then they rebound in such a way where they just beat the hell out of Vanderbilt. And getting this Missouri win, whenever a guy gets hurt, you always want to say, oh, yeah, he's doing great. He's the best practice he's ever had. He's out here saying, and I'm talking about Kelly Bryant, talking about his knees 90%. You never know how much of that is really true. I'm certainly not suggesting that they're lying or anything, but, you know, if he re-aggravates it or if he can't really run or he doesn't want to in this game, makes Missouri a lot more one-dimensional, I think there's a chance, based on what we've seen Ole Miss defense, I mean, their defense has been outstanding, and this Plumtree, as you like to call him, he really is a sensation. If he has another career game, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Ole Miss kind of pulls the shocking upset here.
It's not, but, you know, I think Ole Miss rush defense is 10 times better than their pass defense. And I think that's one thing that Missouri has going for them. I mean, you seen it last week with Nance screaming down the sideline, and you know these guys got some talent on the outside. So if they're able to do that, so they can't load that box up, you know that I don't know. I don't want to say upset because I think Missouri knows exactly what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
Could it? Yeah, could it be an upset? I don't know because Ole Miss is really pumped up, man. They're mm-hmm. they're pumped up. It's kind of like the Alabama game was like a moral victory, and then last week they just killed a team, you know, and now they killed Vandy, and now they got Missouri. So they're feeling pretty damn good about themselves, and that's what you like. And then Missouri was moving in that right direction, but then they took a big, you know, they took a big blow with Kelly getting hurt. Granted, he's going to be back in there, and Kelby being gone. I mean, how do they react? You know, that's their team leaders, you know? So mm-hmm. this it would not surprise me, but I do think I like Coach Odom. I think he'll have no problem getting these guys ready. But this could be a good game, man.
All right, Shane, final team we wanted to hit on here, Vanderbilt. Coach Mason met with the media here on Tuesday. He was pretty fired up. His team obviously in a tough spot, 1-4 on the season. It may have waved goodbye to making a bowl by losing to Ole Miss there, but they got a real good chance of getting a win on Saturday against UNLV. They're like a 2-touchdown favorite. I don't know, Shane, based on what Derek Mason had to say here, I mean, I liked a lot of what he had to say, but it sounds like things are getting a little dicey in this Vanderbilt locker room. Let's kick it over to Derek Mason, and then we'll discuss it on the back end here.
So that they get better, and when they get better, the team gets better, and that's where we stand today. I thought the practice was greedy. I thought guys got hungry. I thought they got fed, and now what we got to do is stack days on top of days. So with that, I'll turn it over.
Derek, how much of some of the issues is youth and not being able to get consistent performances because these guys have not played together much?
That's part of it. I mean, it's a heavy part of the equation, but nobody really cares. You know, you can say young, you can say youth, you can say injuries, you can say all those things. But, you know, I mean, you play in a conference where nobody forgives you for that. Nobody really cares about that. But, you know, I mean, for us, it does matter. You know, like it matters all the way around. And, again, putting those guys in the same room, you know, to really show those guys, you know, man, what it looks like. It's not just the individual, you know, man, performance, man, but it really how it affects the outcome of one play. And then, okay, man, when you have maybe 7 or 8 plays that look like that, or, you know, man, the guys not necessarily populating to the football, and or, you know, man, how we tackle, and or, you know, man, how we may not necessarily be able to get through the reprogression in order to make it happen. I mean, those things become cumulative in ball games, and when they become cumulative, you know, the effect is cumulative, man. But there were some incremental wins in this ball game too. Okay, man, you got to look at that too, man, because young people don't know how to do, you know, anything. If all you talk about is the negative, then that's all they take. Okay, man, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, and the medicine was a loss. So we got to get back to work, and that's what we're doing.
Kalaji was asked Saturday night after the game about a sense of panic in the locker room. He said he felt like there maybe was a little. Is that something you're trying to guard against, or is that something that you can use maybe as a little bit of motivation going forward?
Well, I mean, if he says panic, you know, that may be his feeling. The idea at the end of the day when I talk to the leadership council and this group is that there's got to be a sense of urgency. You know, panic, okay, man, is about not being prepared to respond, you know? I mean, like right now, these guys are prepared to respond. So, I mean, we just got to be urgent about the work in front of us. You know, I thought Tom Brady said it best. You know, man, the best teammate to play with, and he said it the other night, the best teammates that he's always loved are the ones he never had to waste any energy worrying about because they always did their job. That's where we're at right now. Okay, man, guys got to do their jobs. You know, I mean, man, I don't need, you know, Kalijah or any of our guys worried about wasting energy on somebody else doing their job. Okay, when you can focus and get gritty about doing your job and gaining what there is to be gained, you become a pretty good player. And when you become a pretty good player, your team becomes a pretty good team. That's how teams get better. So that's what we got to do.
All right, Shane, so you never want to hear your damn seniors talking about the locker room getting into panic mode. But that's apparently what's going on here in Nashville. I don't know what to make of this comment. Derek Mason seemed kind of bothered by it. Maybe this was the first time he was hearing it. Maybe it's the first time he's seeing it. But, you know, if there is panic and he's not seeing it, maybe that's part of the problem. But I don't know. What do you make from these comments from Derek Mason?
You know, see, thing I like about Mason, he's a wordsmith, dude. He has no problem talking at a mic, you know. He could say the right things. He's clever, sharp-dressed fella, you know. But when your players are coming out and making comments like, yeah, we're in a desperate mode right now, he can't come up with the words to get around that, you know. It's just – it feels to me like there's a lot of finger-pointing going on in this locker room. And do you blame them? I mean, here you got one of the best tight ends in the nation – has like two receptions in the last two games. You know what I'm saying? You got one of the best running backs in the SEC not getting fed. Your quarterback is having trouble connecting with your receivers. It's just, I could see why they would be upset. You just lost to Ole Miss by 30 points. So I think they may be in desperate mode because Ole Miss was supposed to be a coin toss game and it wasn't even close, dude.
Yeah, so I don't know where they go from here, but, you know, talk about a must win for a lot of these teams on the schedule. This is a get-right game for Vanderbilt. They need to get this thing kicked off going in the right direction, because if they don't get this one, Shane, I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't see Derek Mason surviving. So they got a ton of SEC games here coming up. They really need to get this momentum going. I mean, Derek Mason's, you know, he's saying leaving it open even for the quarterback change. I don't really think that's really going to change much at this point, because I think Vanderbilt's kind of is who they are at this point. But I think the defense, which is supposed to be his calling card, is the main issue. They need to get that unit going, and it's got to start on Saturday.
That's the thing. It's got to be the defense. As much as we want to blame the offense because they got all those weapons, man, when you're a defensive-minded coach and you're giving up 30 points to Ole Miss and just don't have an answer for anything, yeah, I mean, the spotlight's – I mean, it's shining right on you, Coach Mason.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, so that's all the news I got around the league here. You got anything before we hop off?
Well, Mike, I'm excited about the koozies getting sent out. Again, appreciate the ratings review. If you sent one – like Mike said, screenshot that to SEC Mike on Twitter, or you DM or email. You got a email, right? SEC at Gmail. Do you do that?
That SEC podcast at Gmail. Go ahead and hit us up there. DM us on, you know, we obviously on Reddit, Instagram, all that good stuff. The Reddit page is always a good place to reach us. But yeah, like I said, we got a black and white, orange and white, red and white, and a blue and white. Happy to send those out, so just let us know that you subscribe to the show and you give us that 5-star hearts and you know give us a rating and review. That really helps us out. We really want to show appreciation to everyone that's done that, so trying to boost those numbers out, and I'm interested to see how many people actually want these koozies. Man, I want to know how many people are drinking beers with us every show.
That's right, man. We got one, our boy Aiken out there on the beach. You see that one? He's camping on the beach listening to that SEC podcast. My boy is he's living the life, living the dream, Mike.
maybe that'll be us one day, huh?
That's right. Oh, man. So, but no, the ratings reviews really do help us out. Tomorrow, I'm going to be reading those. So on Thursday's show, we'll have all those. So if you got one, you've got a phone, you haven't done it yet, get it in tonight, and we'll be sure to read it tomorrow.
All right, Shane, so that's going to do it for this one. Thanks for joining me, as always. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols. Give me your rock and I was ready to roll on to California with the gun angel, because he makes
Is somebody blow drying their hair behind you or something?
Something's going on.
Is that a leaf blower?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I do hear it.
Yeah, it's like I was listening at first. It sounded like somebody's backing up, like, and it had that beep noise. But then I was like, no, it sounds like somebody's blow drying their hair. And then now it sounds like leaf blowing. What time is it over there?
8 o'clock.
Ain't it dark?
Yeah.
Is it dark?
It is.
What the fuck is he blowing over there? Jeez Louise, guy. The lease ain't even failed yet. What are you doing out there? He just got him a new toy at Home Depot, and he's wanting to show it off, you know? I'm about to go over there and whoop that guy's ass. I'm like, who waits till bedtime to get the leaf blower out? And now he stops. Wait, since we start talking, he'll fucking crank it up again. Yeah. This bastard. All right.